This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Lather Talk, your favorite wet shaving podcast. Coming up on this episode, we have a great conversation with Kyle, artisan and owner of Summer Break Soaps. We'll talk about how he got his start, as well as a brand new soap that's coming out very soon. I also have some exciting news to share. My co-host Gerard and his wife Sarah welcomed into the world their second child, a beautiful baby girl. We wish their whole family the best as they recover and adjust to life as a family of four. Also, a big thank you to the Lather Talk patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast and YouTube channel. If you're in a position to help financially, check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/lathertalk. If you're watching us on YouTube, please be sure to hit that like button. And if you're enjoying the show and you haven't done so already, consider becoming a subscriber to the channel and don't miss out on any new podcasts. Last but not least, if you've got any questions or comments, you can either leave a comment if you're watching the YouTube version, or you can email us over at latherhog@gmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode, and now onto our conversation with Summer Break Soaps.
You're listening to Lather Talk with your hosts, John Shea and Gerard Gustilo.
Well, hello, listeners and viewers. Welcome back to a new episode of Lather Talk. My very special guest today is Kyle from Summer Break Soaps, a artisan soap maker, maker of some wonderful products that I personally have been able to use in these past years of wet shaving, and just so happy to be able to talk to you today. Kyle, welcome to Lather Talk. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you. For the listeners and viewers at home, I reached out to Kyle probably back in the fall of 2023. I had the pleasure of meeting. Yeah, that's what I was like. Are you interested in coming on the podcast? I also had the pleasure of meeting you in person last June at the Magritte meetup. And that was a very fun time. We had very warm weather as well. But I think, you know, people were in good spirits, and I think even back then I planted the seed like, oh, you know, if you're interested in doing this kind of thing. So glad we could finally connect tonight. So
for sure.
A good place to start is always the beginning. So for the listeners who might not be familiar with Summer Break Soaps, can you just tell us a little bit about how the brand and name came about, when you got started, and kind of the, you know, that whole process?
Yeah. Let's see, I feel like I've told this story so many times that I'm going to forget it myself, but we actually just had our sixth birthday.
Oh, wow.
2 days ago. Yeah, March 1st was our sixth anniversary of being open. Thank you. It's crazy to think. I mean, not really the new kids on the block anymore or anything like that. But my wife and I, we both work in education. And so that's where the name came from. I don't know why, of all education names, we landed on Summer Break Soaps. I suppose probably because a lot of the formulation originally was done over the summer because we had a lot more free time then. Okay. But it kind of started out like many things when I discover a new hobby. So wet shaving, I dove, like probably many of you guys who are listening to this. If you're listening to a wet shaving podcast, you've probably dove really deep into a hobby. So, but just dove deep in. And so I tried out restoring vintage razors. I tried out restoring vintage brushes. And then thought, I'll try making soap. So I started making soap. Yeah. Had a lot of fun with it. But of course quickly made a lot more soap than I would ever use. And so that's kind of where eventually I thought, well, maybe I should just sell some of this to my friends on the various forums and stuff. So, and then eventually we kind of took that next step. Oh, I forgot to mention too, my wife is really into cosmetics. And so that's kind of a little bit how we landed together doing that, is it blended a little bit of both of our hobbies together. So, started a business and here we are 6 years later.
Wow. That's excellent. And So I mean, 6 years later, that's again, congratulations on hitting that mark. It really, yeah, it doesn't seem that long ago where it's like,
it doesn't.
You guys first entered the scene, but oh wow, 6 years already. As far as like the division of responsibilities and whatnot in the day to day, would you say both you and your wife are still very involved? Has it shifted in that in the years since you started? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's pretty much, I'd say I do. I don't know if she's listening to this or not, or she will be, but
oh, no. She may disagree. Get you in
trouble. Yeah. But I do most of the stuff now. She's more of a creative influence. I think she's got some good ideas for naming, especially some good scent, like starters. If you should make a scent, I really like apple, you should. And she kind of helps get me more of a creative muse type influence, I think, than I do most of the, I get the not fun work of making the soap and packing the packages and stuff, and she gets the creative side.
I see. Well, I mean, it's very important to have, like, you know, the idea person, the creative person, and then if you're more the logistics and execution, I feel like that's a pretty good division of division of responsibility there.
For sure. Thanks for keeping me out of trouble.
Of course, my that was
looking
not
for
my
the
attention.
Positives.
Exactly. Well, very cool that it was an endeavor that you guys could, at the very least, get off the ground together, and you know, and still continue to work on as well. So,
and at bare minimum, I mean, she humored me. Like, I think there's a lot of wives out there who would say, "No, you don't need to start a company making soap. That'll never work." But she humored me and supported me, so that alone is pretty awesome.
A supportive partner in your interests and hobbies, and you know, even like dipping your toes. Yeah, I totally agree that that's a good situation to be in. I am also lucky where my wife is encouraging of my stupid hobbies, including wet shaving and making podcasts about wet shaving. You know, I don't think a lot of people can say that their partners are so gung ho, but
very true.
We're both very lucky guys in that respect.
Agreed. Yep.
Okay. You also mentioned that you had an interest as a wet shaving hobbyist. Now, this is always interesting. Like, do you remember at what point? At what point it became like, okay, you like wet shaving. This is what you're going to do now for grooming. But what was that point when you cross over to like hobbyist? Reluctantly use that term, was there a certain acquisition or event that coincided with it? You're like, yeah, I'm in this team.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think there was maybe some different stages, because my kind of introduction to wet shaving was, I don't know if you remember, you probably do remember, when way back when Rockwell had the Model T on Kickstarter. So I bought into that. I said, I'm going to start wet shaving when this thing gets released. But it was a year, I don't even remember what year it was. Probably been like probably about 8 years ago, because it was a couple of years before I opened a business. But I asked my grandma if she just happened to have any of my grandpa's old shaving stuff, and she did. And so I acquired, I don't know, I bet 8 different Gillette razors, a couple Schicks, some old brushes, and that I would say really started it, because I cleaned all those razors up and decided I'm not going to wait for the Rockwell anymore. I'm going to use this Slim Adjustable. And so my very first shave was with a Slim Adjustable that belonged to my grandpa, which is really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I think I kind of first got the bug for vintage Gillettes and stuff. So it wasn't necessarily the software side of things. That's where it started. And then I think, let's see, I want to pay it forward on our wet shaving. And that was probably my first taste of artisan soaps. But of course, I bought Purasso as my first soap, as so many of us do, which is as okay. but so I picked up several, probably 4 or 5 artisan soaps. And that was probably what, wow, these smell really good. They're also really good. And kind of kickstarted that side of the software acquisition, which quickly took over the hardware. And I was all about collecting soaps.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah.
That's a good. I like how you started it off. That it starts as a progression, because you're right. It kind of that snowball effect is what happens. And in general, I love hearing about when people do have that connection from, you know, from relatives. In case your grandfather, those people, you know, their fathers or their uncles. There's an antique or something that gets passed down. It's not necessarily like my wet shaving story, but it's one that I know so many people that's how they got in, and that's why I think that's why kind of takes hold. You know what I mean? Like it has a very strong foundation to like, okay, then let me branch off now into aftershaves, and oh, maybe I'll get into fragrances, and then loop back around, like, oh, let's go modern razors and titanium. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'd never pay $200 for a razor and then pay $200 for a few different razors.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, that's yes. The ceiling keeps rising as far as like, what would you spend on item X? So,
exactly.
Yeah, Paresso, like, why would I buy, pay more than this tub of Paresso or tube of Paresso, whichever one you're using.
Yep.
And then, you know, before you know it, $50 for some shave soap doesn't sound that bad.
No, not too bad. Yeah, exactly.
If you're looking for a cool place to hang out with traditional shaving enthusiasts, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware or software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
That's how you got to be a wet shaving hobbyist. And then how many years into wet shaving, I don't know if it's been too much time has passed, but like, again, going from hobbyist to soap maker, about how much time was that into your time wet shaving? Did that happen?
Mm-hmm. I think about 2 years, if I remember right.
Okay.
So not a long time to decide, yeah, I should totally invest a bunch of money and start a business related to this.
Not at all. I mean, I'm sure there's people that we know that got in like within the first year, they might have.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Their hand at soap making. And yeah, other people are like 5-10 years later. Oh, maybe I'll try this or that. So but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's just interesting looking back how much it's changed, because I feel like the bar of entry back then was, you know, quite a bit lower than it is now. I think it'd be a lot harder to open a soap company now and find success versus 6 years ago.
For sure. And that might be something I'd like to pick your brain on later. The way that the landscape looks nowadays versus... Well, I guess we can even, why not tackle it now? I mean, what is your kind of some of your observations as far as when you first came in? So if you're talking about if you celebrate 6 years and we're in 2024, math would put us in 2018, right? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So like when you first hit the scene in 2018 versus now in March 2024, what are some of the big differences that you've noticed just in terms of artisans,
You know, and I don't stay on top of as many new companies now as I used to. But at the time, I remember, I spent a good chunk of time on our wet shaving on Reddit, or at least I definitely did then. But that forum especially was turning out artisan after artisan. We had Noble Otter, West of Olympia, Southern Witchcraft, Summer Break Soaps, Red Panda. I think we were all within about a year of each other. And it's crazy looking at that list, because you know there's some Noble Otter and Southern Witchcraft, there's some big, pretty heavy hitters making some really good stuff, and just thinking that, you know, we kind of all got our start right at the within a year of each other. I think the big difference that really changed between now and then was I got away with some pretty amateurish labels back then. My first labels were 3.5 inches big on a 4-inch tub. So there's giant white around the outside. I made them on some random app I found on the internet. I don't remember what app I was using, much better than MS Paint, basically. But now if I came out with labels like that, I'm not getting anywhere. It won't gain any traction in the market.
Yeah. And speaking of labels, I mean, there are even folks within the community that you've, I guess, either worked with or you employed their help on. Is it mostly one designer that you work with currently?
Yep, or... I've only ever used one designer other than my amateur style. But, yeah, which, excellent. I mean, Wise One, his Instagram and Reddit handle, he deserves a huge chunk of credit for my brand identity. I had that education idea. I can't even describe it. But when he started doing my labels, he was able to connect the nostalgia that a lot of my scents have and bring it into the labels with his graffiti kind of style. I owe him a great deal just because he really helped me find that brand identity.
For sure. And I wanted to mention Wise One because he's helped me as well with the show.
That's right.
The Lather Talk logo. Uh-huh. Our recent soap release too. He's helped us with both Lather Talk collaborations. The person I've turned to. So definitely, can co-sign on his prowess as a graphic designer.
And for sure.
I also just want to totally agree that there is something where when I see one of your labels, it's tied into that theme so well. And even if it's like the name is Summer Break Soaps, but it's very, it ties into you and your wife's education background as well. And just things with school, it's not even just like one phase in school. So just like to rattle off some names that Kyle has, Cannonball sticks out the most to me. And especially in that graffiti style, kind of like with water and summer. I mean, that one ties directly to the brand name. Woodshop, right? It's more recent. Valedictorian, I've had the pleasure of using. And those are all different phases. Those are like, kind of going into your teenage years to like about to go from teenage years to like young adulthood. So it's very cool. I've always really enjoyed that story, the stories behind your releases. Speaking of which, what is the bestseller or bestsellers for you in terms of scents?
Probably, it comes and goes, but Cannonball is probably the bestseller overall. I owe a huge chunk of the fact that I'm still here to Cannonball. That came out our very first summer, our very first edition of that. And I don't know if that one wouldn't have came out. I don't know if we ever would have gained the attention, to keep us going, but it's just such a unique, honestly weird, but enjoyable scent that it just really, really helped kind of help us establish ourselves.
Speaking of which, do you mind for those who might not be familiar with Cannonball, how would you describe the scent of Cannonball?
Trying to remember what I wrote in the copy all those years ago, but I think of it as like a tropical drink by a poolside. So you've got orange and pineapple, especially. Also, legitimately, the smell of chlorine smells like a swimming pool, plus fruity. Yes. And then, of course, it also has the synthetic menthol, which just adds to the whole experience of supposed to be like jumping into a pool on a hot day, feeling that cold water hit you.
I'm just bringing up the...
Oh, nice.
For our video watchers, so Cannonball here again because we're just talking about the label art. So I figured why not bring it up? That kind of maybe like graffiti, but it's like very like fun, like kind of like it's like bouncy, kind of feel. So I mean, come on, you mentioned citrus, the feelings of like the summer's here, jumping in the pool, all that good stuff. And your original copy. Yeah, I mean, because this is we're a few years in now, but I definitely remember. I remember using this one, and like, the chlorine. He's not kidding. It's definitely there, and I don't know, that might seem off-putting to some people out there. Like, oh, why would you? Like that's not the part I like about swimming. But again, the nostalgia aspect of it, it's going to transfer. Like, I it happened to be it transports you there, and it's such a unique. There's nothing else like that. There's nothing else like Cannonball that's on the market, and I feel like your other ones kind of, if not in that, kind of not embodying that uniqueness, it still takes you on that journey, transports you to a place
again, I mentioned wood shop, but that one's probably a no-brainer. Like, oh, the smell of like wood in the shop and sawdust and, you know, and it's maybe some of the machinery.
Yeah, so I definitely try to be unique.
Yeah.
When I can. Some of them, you know, maybe don't stand out as much in that unique kind of almost weird, but in a good way. Yeah. But sure. I try to do those every now and then. Sometimes they do great. Other times, you know, not so much, and they don't make the permanent list. But
yeah, no, definitely the creativity is there. And I know you're not like flooding the market with releases, but about like on average, how many new scents would you say you're releasing each year?
Right now, because I've been busy as heck outside of the soap making, wet shaving world, I'm shooting for two. If I get two out in here, I feel pretty good.
Yep.
I'm also trying to go more just permanently available, not so much seasonal or temporary release, just to make it easier.
Okay, you read my mind. I was gonna ask. Yeah, like then do they just become part of the catalog, and you're not really like rotating things in and out. It's just the gradual growth of the library of scents for summer break soaps.
Yeah, at least for now, I feel like that makes it easier on my retail partners too, to not constantly have what's available, what's not available. Just
more SKUs to keep track of. Okay, awesome. I still had the website loaded up, so I do see six scents. Is that correct? We have six in the lineup, or am I?
Yeah, six. I had to turn around and count how many, because I kind of just discontinued a few.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, like some of the older Bell Ringer, Homecoming, Picture Day have all been kind of discontinued within the past 6 months or so, and mostly due to they were still in the old label format. My plan is that some of them will probably eventually come back with a Wise One label at some point. No immediate plans, but
would you say, would it be helpful, especially for like listeners who are familiar and fans of summer break soaps? Is this the case where like the ones that rotate out when there's enough demand, that'll kind of push it up in the queue
for sure?
To be re-released, to be re-labeled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. If there was ever anybody who really wanted Bell Ringer or something, and they got some other people together, it would absolutely come back.
All right, so listeners, you heard that here.
There you go.
This makes sense, because you know, I think the connection, the distance between kind of the consumer and like artisan goods is very close. Usually, it's not, or very rarely is it someone else that you guys are hiring out to customer service or the request, or even like social media, in which case this is a great time to mention Kyle and Summer Break Soaps. So I have the you can find them over on Instagram at Summer Break Soaps, and these are all very straightforward, and the website that we'll probably pop in and out of during today's episode is www.summerbreaksoaps.com, just in case you guys want to know where to look, and obviously other online and probably brick and mortar retailers as well. So little plug there, because I forgot to do that earlier in the show. Where can you find them? And we'll do it at the end again, because you know it can it never hurts. So speaking of like customer interaction, I think that kind of gives me a good segue to bring up maybe some of the listener questions that we got. This comes from the Lather Talk Discord, guys. Whether you're watching this episode, if you're new or old, it's a great place to hang out with other wet shavers. There are other artisans. Kyle himself has seen some of these questions beforehand, so he's not going to be caught totally off guard. But it's a fun place. There's no obligation. It's free to check out. No obligation to stay. So that's my personal invite for the folks to come out to the Discord, and you can give us questions too, like this, to be read on the show. So. This you might have answered this one already, but Engineered Shaves ask, will you re-release History 101?
That's probably definitely one I've heard more requests for than others. That one got discontinued probably 3 to 4 years ago. It was one of our original three scents that hasn't been around for a while. So eventually my goal was always to make a History 202, like a kind of new version of it, but I have not have not been working on that, so we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see which way I decide to go.
Gotcha. That's a clever way to, like, you know, to have the name the updated version. So I really like that.
Along with that too, just kind of a random thing that I do. My bath soap and shampoo bars, a lot of times I will still make old discontinued soaps in those forms, just because I know some people are still. So every now and then, if you look, you'll see some soap that I haven't made for 4 years in a bath soap form, just for fun.
Okay. All right. That's great. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for that, guys, on the Summer Break Soap site for, bath bars and shampoo bars?
Yep.
Awesome. That's really cool. Follow-up question from Engineered Shaves as well. Any plans on changing the soap base at all? Or, you know, is there a new soap base on the horizon, or are things going to mm-hmm. remain the same for 2024?
That's a good question. I think short term, they'll remain the same. What I like about this soap base, and I still hear a lot of comments that it's a lot of people's favorite, one of their favorite bases out there. But with this base, I feel like I may be able to keep my price point lower than a lot of competitors with still just as good of a shave. So I'm guessing more than likely an updated soap base could include a price increase as well. So I've been working on it a little bit, but it's still a ways out.
Okay. Good to know. I thought I jotted this down, but I know someone asked, like, some soap makers have a name for their soap base. Mm-hmm. Is there any, like, in-house or official name for the Summer Break soaps, shave soap base?
So it's funny you say that. I'm fairly certain when I originally released it, I called it Honor Roll or something. Or it was something education related, and I mentioned it a few times and it never stuck. But last year, I think it was during the Lather Games on our wet shaving, one of the contestants decided to nickname it Doug, and since then has referred to my soap base as Doug several times.
Really?
So I feel like that's actually stuck a little bit. So I don't know that Doug is the official name of the base, but it is kind of funny to think that the soap base's name is Doug.
I can see that gaining some traction for the for the R wet shaving Reddit crowd, especially if it's during Lather Games and people I don't know, everyone's just amped up during the event.
Yeah.
Amped up or like a little loopy from like just
trying to day in,
day
in,
day out. That question I probably saw was from one of our Reddit friends.
Probably.
Yeah. This other one I mentioned just before we started recording. So there are a lot of questions about your remote learning soap. And just before we dive into the questions, can you give, for those uninformed, a quick recap? What was the remote learning release and the scent and the idea behind that?
Yeah. So what year would that have been? It had to be 2021. I originally, for April Fool's Day, I posted that I was doing a Doritos and Mountain Dew scent. Obviously, pretty clear April Fool's Day prank. Really not even a good one, because who would actually make that? But then, surprise, I did make it. I made two sets.
Joke's on you.
it was on me. And so I gave away one set on Reddit and one set on Instagram. And so originally there was two sets, and then, you know, I figured who'd want this stuff. So over the following years, next 2 years, of course, people keep asking, are you going to do that again? Are you going to do that again? And then finally, kind of like you mentioned a bit ago, a bunch of people got together and said, hey, if I get, I don't remember what number, I think he said 10, and I just humored him and said, sure. Yeah. If you can find 10 people to want cheese soap, thinking nobody would want cheese soap, but then I was wrong. A lot of people wanted cheese soap. Yeah. And so, was that about a year ago? I don't even remember when I did that, but I released Remote Learning, which is nacho cheese scented soap combined with Mountain Dew scented aftershave.
Wow.
And then as a special, did you get one, John? I can't remember. You didn't get one, did you?
No,
you're smarter than that.
No, I just remember, like, I was cracking up. I definitely, like, when you posted it originally, I was like, oh, this is so good. So, but no, I did not go for one.
I don't blame you. That is the only soap I've ever made that I did not keep one of. Everything else I keep one of. And I even gave them a small EDP of the cheese combined with the Mountain Dew. Yep. So that, that was their punishment. They had to agree to wear that at least once. Wow.
Yeah. 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 That's, I mean, you made it fun though. This is what you guys asked for. That's great though, as far as like the interaction between,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Fellow hobbyists and obviously like, fans of the brand. You know what, for the, I was going to say, I thought the shave soap was both kind of what you did with the EDP. Mountain Dew and cheese, like Doritos in the soap.
Yeah.
It was, okay. Yeah. It was thankfully kept separate.
I know. It makes it a little better, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
because the aftershave's not so bad. The Mountain Dew splash, that's okay. But the soap.
The cheese soap is the harder sell.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with that. So now that you guys have the background to what remote learning was, I did have a few questions here. Saint Bandicoot asks, how much Mountain Dew and how many Doritos were consumed in perfecting the flavor of the remote learning set?
Probably a good amount of Doritos. I haven't had a Mountain Dew, I bet, in 10 years, though. So I did buy some for some pictures, but then I don't remember what I did with it. I think I gave it to somebody, but...
Just for props.
I like to tell myself that was healthier, that I just ate 3 bags of Doritos in a sitting and not didn't drink any Mountain Dew, so it's healthy.
Yeah. So of course, like, it's original Doritos for the scent there, but, you know, amongst, I feel like there's a lot of great flavors in Doritos, especially since we were kids. Like, what is your go-to, like, favorite Dorito flavor?
That's a good question.
Original?
I mean, I do like Cool Ranch. I like both. I can't think of what they're called. They come in a purple bag. Those are my favorite, but I can't remember what they're called.
Oh, my friends, that is my favorite. That is the sweet chili flavor.
That's it. Yep.
Forgive me. It's the purple bag, like Kyle said.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so good, man. Like, you open the bag, and you're like, oh, I have a few.
Yep.
Yeah. 3/4 of a bag later, and you're like, I'm just going to finish
it. Yep. Yep.
Follow-up question from St. Batacoot. Were Doritos dipped in the remote learning soap to compare taste profile of the soap to its inspiration head-to-head in the same bite?
I did see this question. No, they were not, because... Turns out soap does not taste very good.
Yeah. Let's put that out there. Guys, don't eat the soap. Okay. No matter
how don't eat the soap.
Whether it's remote learning or some other, you know, Guan, I know there's people do cologne, you know, cologne dupe soaps that they want to eat. It smells good, and leave it to that. Don't eat the soap.
I'm curious, just because we're on the subject, John, do you know what the Zap test is for soap makers? I've tasted soap to see if the lye has saponified or not. So you literally touch the cooking soap to your tongue, and if it feels like you're licking a 9-volt battery, it's not done yet. So literally, I have tasted my soap.
Yes, but that's as a responsible soap maker, not as a
yes. Yeah, not to taste test it intentionally.
Yes, I did think of the Zap test, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because you literally do have to, or I mean, I'm sure there's other ways, but it's a very easy,
low cut. Yeah,
you don't need extra tools. You use what you got, and you can figure it out. It's a question, but I think just to throw his hat in there, Arch Soup did ask, can you please make the remote learning splash a full-time offering? Notice, no mention of the soap. He just wants
to... just the splash. That is a good point.
So there's another vote for you. You don't have to say yes or no, but he would like that.
There was another artisan that had a Mountain Dew soap and splash at some point. I can't remember who it was, but I know there was one out there at one point. Maybe Central Texas?
Yes. Yeah, they did a Dr. Pepper and a Mountain Dew. And I feel like there's like other, like K Shave Works. Do you remember them?
I do remember them. Yeah.
One of the two of the earliest soaps I tried from them was a grape soda and an orange soda, which those were fun. And I'm pretty sure they had a Mountain Dew too. So
makes sense.
There might be others out there, but I think a lot of people like this remote learning, that extra thematic element to this. Funny enough, one final question. I guess all my questions are about remote learning, really. Yeah. So Calzilla 3 asked me to ask you, why does your Old Spice dupe smell like Doritos? And when are you going to remedy this issue?
Nice. I knew that Old Spice would have to be a part of that.
Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I think I got a quick explanation, but I feel like there's a story behind this.
Yeah. Well, just his Old Spice. He has a thing with Old Spice and testing every Spice scent. And, I almost want to say I should make him a cheesy Old Spice scent just for him. But I don't want to put that out there because then there'll be a whole group of them that get together and actually make me make that come true. So I don't know that I could handle that.
In case you move forward with that idea, a good name for it could be gym class? Locker room?
Yes. That's probably what it smelled like too. So
right? Teenage...
Yes.
Teenage boy plus Doritos. Oh God.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
We have a lot of bad ideas on this show.
That's up there.
Yeah. So okay. Old Spice and cheese. If enough of you guys are, ballsy enough to ask for it, Kyle will meet you there.
My minimum order might be a lot lower than 10, like last time for that one though.
What if it's more? It's like you got to make like a batch of like 20 or 25 out of.
Yeah.
Possible. You never know.
No.
Yeah. So a lot of the Discord members, a lot of the Lather Talk listeners really, really love that remote learning set. So are there plans? I mean, it's around the corner, April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you could share, or is that kind of a little secret if it's coming?
There are not plans. I'll just say there won't be anything this year. I do have another April Fool's idea that I've always wanted to make come true, but it's not has nothing to do with Doritos but it won't be this year.
Your April Fool's idea, or do you mean remote learning won't be this year?
Well, remote learning won't be, neither one will be this year. I kind of forgot about April Fool's Day until now.
Oh, that's okay. Also, funny little bonus info is my eldest, my son, was born on April 1st, so he's my...
Oh, really?
He's my April Fool, yeah.
That's awesome. Does he have the personality to match? Like, you gotta have a certain personality being born on April Fool's, I feel like.
No, he's pretty introverted. Funny kid. Oh,
okay.
Kid, but he's not he's not like attention seeker or like a jokester. Like that's not really his personality.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be the sneaky stuff as he gets older. Be like the sneaky funny stuff.
Yeah. That like doing pranks and stuff like that. If anything, that'll be he could get behind that. I can see
because
he likes to think he's sneaky.
That's awesome.
Little kids do.
Yeah.
We're already talking about what's coming down the lines. And might as well expand that a little bit. Is there anything that you can share? And it's okay also if it's kind of still under wraps or in development, but if there's anything you can share, what we might be able to look forward to this coming year from Summer Break Slopes?
So I do have something that'll hopefully make it out April-ish. Kind of running out of time for that, but I just actually got final design files from Wise One today.
Ooh, nice.
So I haven't shared much about that, but I can share a little bit here kind of as a first time so
if you're comfortable doing that, yes, we'd love to hear whatever you'd like to share about this upcoming release.
I've got everything ordered, so it's happening whether people want it or not. So
Very good.
But it's called Troublemaker, which I think is kind of a fun name in our theme. And Wise One knocked the labels out of the park as usual. I think I suppose I can share a little bit about the scent. I've had it ever since I began in wet shaving. Lavender has been one of my favorite notes. I think I was blown away initially. One of my first soap I ever had was Flowers in the Dark by Dr. Johns. Just an amazing scent. And I think I always had that floral, cleaner, like idea of lavender in my head that it was a super sweet, super. And so when I smelled what lavender really smells like, that kind of darkness, I was just hooked on it. And so I've tried my hand at lavender scents a few times over the years. Brain was one of my initial scents. It was a lavender peppermint vanilla scent. And then I don't remember what year it was, but a couple of years later, Homecoming came out, Lavender and Neroli forward, with lots of other stuff going on. And then that one has been discontinued. So Troublemaker is my newest Lavender, stab at Lavender, and definitely the darkest Lavender I've done.
Very exciting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we have that to look forward to. And you said aiming for April, if not sometime.
Yeah.
In the near future, it sounds like.
Yep. Starting to get everything made now, just waiting on my sense stuff to get here so I can finish it up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate getting that little preview for
it. Yeah, you got the scoop. Yeah.
Got the scoop. Yep. Always love that. That's good podcast material. But also, we'll be sure to keep an eye on social media, though, as you kind of tease out the official set notes and the label and all that good stuff. So
yeah,
looking forward to it for sure. So we've talked a lot about wet shaving, which is not always the case on this show. So I think now we got that out of the way. Mm-hmm. Which, just as far as your kind of your hobbyist journey, though, just to kind of go back to that, wet shaving, would you say now that you've got your soap making in the mix, call it hobby engagement or something separate, but do you still engage with that side, whether it's trying new stuff or even just is the level of enjoyment still there, or has it faded a little bit more just this is the routine, it is what it is, it's enjoyable, but it's not a mad scramble, what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's a fair characterization of it. I still enjoy the community. I still enjoy interacting with the community, but I don't spend a whole lot of money buying much stuff anymore. Every now and then something will catch my eye, and I'll pick up a set or pick up a new razor or brush. But it's only probably a couple times a year at this point. I'm kind of more now on the routine, and I really enjoy killing soaps off now. That's such a good feeling now at this point to finish up a tub, and especially finish up a bottle of aftershave. That's even more of a reward. That takes forever to do.
I think I've won.
One's
almost done, but there's always more aftershave than soap.
Mm-hmm.
And so piggybacking off of that, what would you say, was your typical setup? Is there a certain rotation of razors that you're kind of sticking to nowadays, or certain brushes, what have you settled on as far as that setup?
Yeah, I've got, let's see, 6, 12. I've got a razor stand in my bathroom that holds 12 razors. And 5 of them are modern razors, 7 are vintage razors. And so at this point I literally just rotate around and use them in order. Brushes, same. I've settled on, I think, let's see, 4 of my own handles, 3 of Dogwood's handles, 1 decoration handle, and then a couple of vintage restored handles. And again, I just kind of rotate through.
For both, it sounds like a good mix. Like how you mentioned, the modern and the vintage ones. So, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So that's how wet shaving, your wet shaving hobby looks like. Do you have other do you have time for other hobbies? Because you mentioned you're an educator. I think you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have you and your wife have children as well?
Yep. We have 2 kids, 8 and 5.
Okay.
So they keep us busy. I have a problem where I end up staying too busy. So in addition to my normal job, I teach a couple classes at the local university. My son and I do taekwondo. A couple times a week. That's a lot of fun. I also randomly make beer. I try to run a lot. I do too much sometimes.
Okay. So beer making. Would you say running? I mean, obviously that could be just your favorite mode of exercise. But are you into marathons and stuff like that, or 5, 10 Ks? How hardcore are we talking about with the running?
Yeah. Half marathons mostly. My goal is to run a full I'd like to run a full marathon at some point, but that's a ways out. I'm not actively training for one or anything.
Okay. Oh, good for you. That's great. I have plenty of hobbies as well, but like I hope I can like pick up a healthy one like like, oh, getting in shape. That's my hobby. Like, damn it. I need that bug to bite me.
Yeah. It's came and gone. Like sometimes I get really into it and then I won't for a year.
I asked about the marathons too, because I'm in Boston, so the Boston Marathon. If you ever wind up running in it and come this way, please let me know. It'd be great to have a beer afterwards or something.
You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I doubt I make it that far, but maybe. Okay, that's good motivation. That's worth it. I'll do it just to have a beer in Boston.
I meant to ask, where's home base for you as far as city and state go?
Mm-hmm. So I live in Kearney, Nebraska, where Summer Breaks Hopes is. And that literally, if you picture the United States, Kearney is about as central as possible. Smack dab in the middle of Nebraska, which is smack dab in the middle of the U.S. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So yeah, I'm a little far from you. So mm-hmm. No hard feelings.
Yep.
And beer making, is that one of those things where it's like every now and then you dabble with, or like you mm-hmm. go through spurts of it? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as running. Actually, that was my hobby pre-soap making, was I was pretty into beer making. Okay. And then I kind of pivoted to wet shaving and soap making, actually sold all of my beer making stuff. And then about a year and a half ago, I was kind of like, hey, I kind of missed that. So I bought some equipment and started doing that again.
Okay. Very nice. Sorry. And you know, you mentioned you also teach some classes in some local colleges and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What is your area of concentration or expertise? I don't know what the best way to say it is as far as education goes.
So I'm a school psychologist. So that's my specialty, I guess.
Gotcha.
So I teach school psychology grad students a couple classes.
Okay.
And I also, my role in education is I work with alternative ed kids. We call it a non-traditional school. So it's kids who have struggled to be successful middle or high school kids in the like more traditional setting. And so then they come to our school and I just absolutely love working with them. It's really an awesome job.
Like, so in your day-to-day work then, the students, like, is it like behavioral needs? Is there like developmental, like, is it all encompassing for alternative education, or is it more one than the other?
Probably more. I mean, there are behavioral needs, but honestly, what we see the most really, especially post-pandemic, is anxiety. Struggle to cope with, you know, being in a larger building and just going about daily life. And so we do a lot of support of kids who are anxious about things.
Okay. That is a great, I mean, it's, I would say, great service you're providing. It's a great role. And having your involvement in that, because my wife's in education too, and you know, just everything, especially kind of the hop onwards there are post-pandemic. For viewers who might be either too young to have kids or don't have kids, and that's totally fine, but I do know it's a very difficult position to be for the students to be in, and we're talking about everything from like you can say preschool all the way through high school and college. It's just there are all these other factors, and I'm just glad there's more like support in that way.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Because traditionally it's like, okay, well, you know, too bad if your family helps you seek the, you know, that assistance or that help, great. And if not, you're kind of left on your own. And and how long have you been in education now?
So this is my 11th year.
That's quite, I'm even in those 11 years, I'm sure it has changed drastically.
It's crazy to look back and see how it's changed and how I've changed too. I mean, 11 years ago, if somebody would have told me I'd be working at an alternative high school, I would have said, absolutely not, I won't be. But now I can't imagine doing anything else.
Yeah. Would your younger self have just thought like same role in a more traditional setting then?
Probably. And I probably initially thought I want to work with elementary kids, and now there's no way you could get me to go work with elementary kids.
Oh, really? What's
yeah.
Was it more high school high school aged? Or yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, we have high school, middle school. And my whole career has been high school, middle school kids.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time tonight, Kyle. And again, really appreciate you coming on the show. To wind down our conversation on a positive note, I'd like to ask you, could you share three things that you are thankful for? And it can be big things, small things, no judgment. There's no expected answer, but three things that you are thankful or grateful for.
You know, it's awesome that you do this just as a total side note, because I teach social skills and I start every single class with my kids and make them write something every day that they're grateful for or that makes them smile or something like that. And so it's cool that you end this in the episode this way. And it's and now I feel what they feel like being put on the spot. So the first things that pop into my head is my kids, obviously. It's so cool. Watching them get bigger. And I mean, my little girl, my baby's 5 years old now and will go to kindergarten in the fall. And it's just crazy. But to see her become herself, see my son begin to mature. I mean, in a few years, he'll be in middle school, which is crazy to think about. So my kids, for sure. I better say my wife. I keep giving her a hard time in this, but really, I am thankful for my wife. She's always supported me on the day we had that summer break. Soaps turned 6 years old was also the anniversary that her and I began dating. And so we've been together for 16 years. And that's crazy to think that 16 years.
And congratulations.
So she's had my back for that much time. And then just to wrap up our conversation too, I'm grateful for my job. I really enjoy my job. Because the school I work at only opened just shy of 3 years ago now.
Oh, really?
And before that, so it was a new role for me. And before that, I felt like I was probably destined towards burnout. You know, I liked my job, but it wasn't that enjoyable. And that school really helped me change that. And where I enjoy going to work. So I'm thankful for that too.
That's so awesome to hear. So I'm so glad you shared that. Thank you for sharing the three things that you're grateful for. I'm glad to hear also that your students that you work with also do a very just practicing gratitude. Great way to not get weighed down by the negativity out there. So great to hear about your work there, and of course great to hear about what's going on with summer break soaps. And again, looking forward to Troublemaker that's coming out. Let's get Kyle's plugs in on the way out here. So again, if that sounded interesting to you, if you want to badger him about remote learning, soap, aftershave, or our new idea of like gym class or locker room, please hit him up on Instagram at Summer Break Soaps. Again, visit the website for all the goodies. You can find some discontinued shave soap scents. It might still exist in bath soap and shampoo bars. Mm-hmm. So that might be a boon to some of you out there who are having withdrawals on your favorite scent from Kyle. And all that, all that being said, thank you so much, Kyle, for your time, for lending us your time to get to know about you a little bit more, to get to know about Summer Break Soaps. Greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate being here. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we'd love to have you on sometime. In case viewers forgot, Gerard is out on paternity leave from the show as he figures out he just had his second born. I did not That's get awesome. Clearance to find out. To share. So I might have him just record a little audio thing to give people the update. But yes, little baby girl, Gerard's baby girl was just born a few days ago from the time of this recording. So he's figuring stuff out. And I mean, you'll hear from him again. But for now, we thoughts and prayers and just kind of good vibes going out to him, his wife, as they welcome this new one in the world. So again, Kyle, thank
that
you so
really
much.
That is really awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's part of the two kid club now.
Please tell him I said hi and congratulations. I guess he'll hear but please tell him.
Oh yeah, of course. I will pass on the word. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, listeners and viewers, for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this conversation and hope to catch you in the next episode as well. So take care. Thank you, Kyle. You have a great night.
You too. See ya.